Bible if you have it there, and if you don't, you can go get it and get back and turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I didn't get a chance to preach after Easter or during Easter because of being sick at that time, and so this morning I want to go back to that first day when Christ had risen from the dead early in the morning. You remember that he sent the two women back to tell the disciples that he was not dead, he was risen. And this resurrection power, this resurrection presence of Jesus is what I want to talk about this morning, because he comes to us through the Holy Spirit. We give God thanks for that promise and presence of the Holy Spirit. The second wind is how I'm referring to it this morning. The second wind that you need in your life, the Holy Spirit in you, and how you can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that through a very precise rhythm of your body, you breathe an average of 23,000 times a day? 23,000 sounds like an extremely high number, isn't it? But what's really interesting is that it is easier to breathe than it is to hold our breath. One of the reasons for that is because of the pressure around us of the air wants to get into us and wants to fill us. And that's a reminder to us that God is always around us. We live in the envelope of his grace. And that he wants to come in and be present with us in our lives and in our bodies. Not only that, but we want to know the power of the second wind. I'm reminded that runners that run long distances find that after so much running, when they are feeling really tired, sometimes they get what's called a second wind. We think perhaps it's a release of endorphins in their body that helps them to feel better and breathe better. But at any rate, the point is, many of them will tell you there comes a moment when they think they are running out of energy and they get a new burst. They get to go on. And so I'm thinking of that second wind this morning for you. I'm also thinking of it in a different way, and that is a new perspective on life, or a different perspective. I read the story of a mother. Her name was Molly, and she faced what many mothers face. She faced with her adolescent son the rebellious stage. This son had gone beyond rebellious and really defiance and beyond what were normal norms, and living a life very far from God and very far from his parents, and hurting very deeply his mother, Molly. Molly was so offended and so hurt by his particular behavior on one occasion when he had left the house that she wasn't sure she could forgive. As she began to pray and think through the night, God began to say to her, "What about forgiving and restoring?" And she got this image in her mind of balloons. And she decided that she would fill his room with filled balloons and put on the door a sign saying, "Welcome home, you are loved." And that's exactly what God does for us. We rebel and run away, but God has a second wind. He has that way of forgiving and a way of bringing to us that hope and that restoration. The disciples needed a second breath. They'd just been through the trauma of the arrest and the trial, the crucifixion and the death of their Lord Jesus Christ. They'd spent 3 years with him, believing he is the Messiah, and so hoping for a kingdom they expected to be developed in this world, a kingdom of power and politics and economics. And instead, it's a kingdom, Christ keeps telling them, of heaven. It's a kingdom where the king serves. It's a kingdom where the king dies. And now they need a second wind. They need something to restore them. If you look with me there at John 20, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 18. It takes place on the evening of Sunday after Christ has risen Sunday morning. And look what it says there. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Well, as I mentioned, this is Pentecost. Pentecost is the longest standing traditional festival of the Old Testament. It encapsulated both the giving of the law in celebration of Moses and the Torah. It encapsulated the manna that came down from heaven. It is a celebration of the harvest time, because in Israel this is time for the harvest of the wheat. And it was a celebration of God's leadership in the Exodus, where they came out of Egypt, freed by God, led by a pillar of fire and a cloud by day. And we give God thanks for this historic revelation of himself. Most of all, for the law that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai in the Torah. And so we find in the New Testament that the coming of the Holy Spirit is the embodiment, the fulfillment, the completion of what God gave in the law in the Old Testament. Now he writes the law on our hearts. Don't think of the law as specific commandments, although obviously the Ten Commandments come to mind. But rather think of law as a principle for living. Think of law as God's system, God's dynamic organization for life. It's a system of priority and a system of relationship for us that we can live in and walk in by the Spirit. And so, runners, like I mentioned, get a second wind, and Molly getting a second wind, and the disciples needing a second wind. You may need that second wind in your life at this time. I'm thinking, obviously, of the fact that we've been quarantined and shut down in our shelter-in-place orders, and we've been wearing masks and sanitizing our hands and being very aware of those around us and their way of need and their potential of carrying to us the illness. But Jesus comes into the room, and what does he say to the disciples? Peace. Peace be unto you. It's a common greeting, but really he embodies peace for us in a very wonderful way. Because Christ says, the peace I give you is not as the world gives peace. Give I peace unto you. He gives a permanent peace. Remember the Stockdale paradox? I've mentioned it twice before. But that to me is a symbolism of the permanent peace. Stockdale said that you have to have a fixed hope for the outcome, a fixed hope for the ending. And a believer in Christ always knows that our ending is being with Jesus forever, alive in his presence. It is heaven at the end of this life. We have that fixed hope through faith in Christ, and not because of our works, but because of his grace and the work of Christ on Calvary for us. But remember, Stockdale also said, and this is the paradox part, he said, in order to make it through, there has to be a firm grasp of the facts, a brutal facing of reality. And reality can be very brutal, can't it? You would say to me this morning, well, Pastor, it's easy for you. You are a religious person. You spend your time studying the Word or reading or preaching or praying. We face a world that's very difficult, perhaps unemployment, perhaps a scarcity of food or supplies on your shelves, perhaps an isolation from those whom you dearly love and would want to spend time with but cannot. And some obviously are facing deep loss at this time. And I would say, yes, those are the brutal facts that we face. But in the midst of those facts, Jesus says, peace. Peace be unto you. A fixed, eternal hope, a peace that only Christ can give. Now here's what I want to say. You pray through, you wrestle through that which comes against you now in order to reach the place of surrender, the place of serenity, the place of God's peace for you. Sometimes, as Molly and I mentioned earlier, through the night, wrestling with her feelings of resentment and anger for her son and what he was doing, you come to a place of peace where you realize that you need to give forgiveness. You come to a place of surrender where you realize God has to take control. You come to a place where it is totally turned over to Christ to make the difference in your life. And you may be facing that darkness. You may be like these disciples. It says they were gathered together with the doors locked, and they were afraid they would be arrested. They were afraid they would be crucified. If they weren't, what would they do without Christ? They just spent 3 years of their lives following him, and now all those hopes seem to be dashed. And what does it say? He appeared. And a second time he says to them, "Peace be unto you." He gives them a peace. And he says to them in this peace this second time, "I really mean it. It's really true. In the midst of this difficulty, I've come to bring you peace." And he says, "I am sending you." Now we've got to get a hold of this as the church. We are a sent people. Disciples are sent by Christ out into the world. It's been wonderful this past week to see videos from around the world, to read the news on the Nazarene News service, as well as to look at other Christian organizations and what they are doing in the different time zones of our world and the different settings. There's extreme difficulty in places like Central and South America, scarcity of food. There's a need for our response, and many of you are responding. I spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about how we can engage in giving and supporting. Places like Bangladesh came up in the conversation, Central and South America, places where the need is really great. And we are so blessed in so many ways in this country. You're faithful in your giving, and as a result, we give 10% away to others in mission around the world, and then we go beyond that in giving here locally. And I want to encourage you to get online or to mail in your offerings, because God blesses a giving heart, and God finds room and space and blessing for those who obey him in giving and serving. And so Christ says to you thus, "I am sending you." And I also want to say God wants to send our prayers, not just our money, but our praying for our brothers and sisters who suffer, praying for those in difficulty, praying for those in need. You may not know them. You may not even know names, but God will help you find names and find people to pray for that you can lift up and you can encourage. And then it says he came all the way in. He experienced all the testing. He gave his life. Because what he says is, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And I got a hold of that phrase. God the Father sent the Son into the world to be a sacrifice. He sent him here to suffer. But not only that, he sent him here to understand everything we go through. The Bible says he was tested in every way as we are tested. And so Christ was fully here, fully human, came through everything we go through. One who fully understands. He understands right where you are. He understands doubt. He understands fear. He understands anxiety. He's seen it. It's not that he has been all those things, but he has been close to all of that. In the disciples, he saw all of that. And in you, he's the one who is there, who comes all the way right to where you are because the Father sent him. Now here's where it involves you and me in our response. We are to go. We are to identify. We are to draw near. We are to stand beside those who suffer, those who hurt, those who have need, those who have a hunger for God and don't even realize that is what's going on in their lives. And then it says, he breathed on them. Now this is a wonderful word, this word breathing on them, because it has a great history. It said, receive the Holy Spirit. When I read that this week, I said to myself, where does the Holy Spirit first appear in the Bible? And I was shocked to find, and maybe you already know this, that in the very second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 2, it says that God's Spirit breathed or hovered over the deep. Genesis goes on to tell us that God, in creating Adam and creating Eve, breathed life into them. Our breath, our breathing is the gift of God. It is what God provides for us in a very beautiful way. And here Jesus says the Holy Spirit comes on us. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them. The word in the Old Testament for the Spirit is breath. And that's a very great word, isn't it? Without breath, there's no life. Amen. When we breathe, we have life. And we want to breathe. As I mentioned earlier, it's more natural to breathe than to hold your breath. And so that's a great gift as well. Breathing is life, and breathing is living. This word in the Old Testament is ruach, and it means wind, breath, or spirit, or life. And that's what Jesus is telling the disciples they will have now. The Spirit gives life, John tells us in chapter 6, verse 63. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and full of life. I mentioned to you Lectio Divina last week as I was talking about ways to hear and to sense and know God. I talked about reading Scripture through carefully, slowly, and then reading it out loud and reading it 3 and 4 times the same passage and beginning to notice the phrases and the words that stand out. And what I'm wanting to say to you today is that as you read, as you hear God's Word, the flesh counts for nothing, but the words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. God speaks through His Holy Spirit in His Word to you. He speaks life to you. There are ways in which the Word that you read becomes the encouragement, the sustenance, the support that you need for life and for living. He wants to talk to you through His Word. He wants you to hear what He has to say. And it's a matter of tuning your heart and allowing the Spirit to speak to you. And then He says, whatever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Now, ultimately, only God forgives, right? The sin that we have that would keep us from heaven, only Christ, through His intercession with God the Father and His death and resurrection, can forgive sin. But here Jesus is talking about the sins that are committed against us, the sins that people have done to us, the ones that we've resented or been upset with or found that they have faulted us or defrauded us or cheated us in some way. Those sins of relationships and sins of life that we've encountered that have been so difficult for us, Jesus said, forgive them, set them free. I love the phrase that I see quite often these days, which says, forgive the one who offends you and set yourself free. We think that in not forgiving, we're holding them hostage to our justice or holding them hostage to our anger or disappointing and frustrating them because they haven't done for us what we wanted. The truth is, forgiveness sets us free. We're the ones being held hostage. And when we offer forgiveness, whether it's accepted or not, we set ourselves free. And so Jesus said, forgive. And give that forgiveness. For the sins you forgive here, they are forgiven. Forgiveness sets us free. And forgiveness is continued. It's continual forgiveness. It's living in this spirit of forgiveness. It's forgiving before you're asked. It's letting go of resentments, letting go of disappointments before they become an issue. The sooner you let go of them, the smaller and less important they are. The longer you hold on to them, they grow, they magnify, they become bigger objects than they really are. They separate and create distance. And so the sooner you can forgive, the quicker you can be free and move on in love as Christ intends for you to. So my message to you this morning is, catch a second breath. May the Holy Spirit breathe in you forgiveness. May the Holy Spirit breathe in you the life of Christ. May the Holy Spirit bring to you God's Word for your journey. The words you need this week. The words you need now in your life. May you know that. May Christ move in you in a special way as you go through this week. Some of you will be thinking tomorrow of Memorial Day and those who have given time and service and active duty. I'm aware of Steve Gregoire and aware of Claren McDaniel who have been active military in the past. And we pray and thank God for those who serve in the front lines, as I mentioned earlier, in medicine and in healing and in responding to needs and crisis at this time. Pray for them And as you think about perhaps the grief or the loss, allow God's Spirit to breathe new and fresh life into you. We're going to try again a little bit later this morning to share with you the UK blessing, the group of Christians all across the United Kingdom as they sing God's blessing. And we'll do that at the end of the service this morning. God willing, it all works, the technology today. Well, let's pray together as we close out this time. Father, we do come to you needing a second wind. We get tired in life. We carry burdens that we don't need to carry. Perhaps some are holding on to grudges that they shouldn't be holding on to. And some of us have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We allow Satan to bring up past failures, past shortcomings, relationships that are broken. We allow him to accuse us, and we allow him to defeat us with his slings and arrows, as the scripture speaks of, when you have come to wipe clean the slate and you have come to give us a new start. Lord, I just pray that right now, as one is listening, one is watching, they would in their heart sense the breath of your Holy Spirit saying, release, forgive. And then, Lord, my prayer for the church and for us as your believers and servants is that we would go and tell the good news. That we would be sent as Christ sends us. We'd go out of our way. We'd go beyond ourselves. We would change our schedules, change our routines, even involve money and time that we think we can't afford to care and to love and to reach out to someone around us that's needy. Lord, may it be an uncomfortable faith this morning in the sense that it takes us out of our routines that are so common and so ordinary that we've gotten bored. May we find the fresh excitement of being sent by Christ to love and to care and to serve someone who needs it this week. Lord, we take time this morning and we will tomorrow to be thankful for those who put their lives on the line and those who did not come back or came back damaged in many ways. We thank you for veterans. We thank you for those who serve today. We think of Corey Wilson from our own congregation in service today. And Lord, we just pray that you'd watch over and protect. We pray that our nation would wisely use the military strength it has to be an example and not a barrier or a destroyer. Thank you, Father, for leading and guiding the church. Thank you for leading our lives. And now I pray for each one a second breath. A second breath of what the Spirit wants to say. What the Spirit would whisper to us. In Jesus' name, amen.